Good morning and welcome to the podcast today. It is April the 22nd. I'm Joanne and glad you tuned in. If you're new to the podcast, I've been doing a radio program for the past 3 years. And so a lot of what the podcast is just what develops as I sit with the Lord over a period of a couple of hours and program an evening show on 90.9 The Vine. So that's out of Southern Illinois. It's on the FM station, great positive hits. And so it's a real honor to be able to do that. And then to take what the Lord helps me with and bring it to you. So today we talked about trust. Okay. I was at a prayer gathering last night and we prayed for a young woman. And one of the Lord's words to her was just trust him, rest and trust in the place that God has for you. And he will work out the details. And then I got up this morning and one of my good friends who was there last night, sent me a text message and it was a snapshot of a post-it note that she places on her refrigerator. It says things to do today. Number one, you show up. Number two, You trust God. And so that's kind of the direction that we're heading in for just a little bit today. And I want to thank you so much for coming along with me. We like to figure out all the details, don't we? We want to know how it's going to work out. And sometimes we just have to abide in that place of trust, learn to quiet our soul and to rest that God loves us. You know, it's part of our journey in the Christian life. Think about these words that we are told: hope, faith, believe, trust. I mean, all of these things, this is part of the Christian life. It keeps us dependent upon God. Because man, if we had everything all worked out just the way we wanted, if we could figure out all the details and know when and how and everything is going to come together, we would be in control. Okay. And then it would be easy and we could just coast. But I can tell you there's a natural tendency in human beings that when everything is going great, we tend to kind of fall away from some of those great spiritual disciplines that we keep up when we're in a place of needing God. Okay. And I believe that trust is like that. It keeps us humble before God. It keeps us bowed on our knees and in prayer before him. Keeps us dependent and expectant upon him. And keeps us in relationship with him. Definitely, for sure. So what if you've been hoping and you've been trusting and, you know, it just looks like things aren't working out. You know, you've waited a long time. And, you know, doubt can come in, makes us want to quit, but here's another word for you. You just have to say to that doubt, it's not over yet. Okay, I've been trusting God, but it's not over yet. God's not done yet, and that keeps us as well in that place of faith. We talked a lot about the disciples. If you remember, they wanted to know how it was going to work out. They wanted to know. They kept pressing the issue with Jesus. Are you going to set up your kingdom yet? Is it time now that you're going to overthrow the Romans? And he would answer them about his kingdom, but it wasn't like what they thought. Okay. He knew that he had to establish the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom. They were wanting the earthly kingdom. They were wanting to know, hey, who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom? Who's going to sit on your right hand and your left hand? Jesus, when are you going to set up this kingdom? When are we going to see this happen? Because Jesus setting up his earthly kingdom, that's actually prophesied in the Old Testament. It's even talked about in the New Testament. That will happen. But man, if we don't get the way that God works, he's accomplishing something so much greater. What would have happened if Jesus would have set up his earthly kingdom the first time he came? Look what we would have missed. He wouldn't have gone to the cross. There wouldn't have been salvation and forgiveness of sins. So, you know, being in that place of trust that maybe what we're going through has something to do with someone getting saved. You know, we're wanting answers right away and God's saying, no, I'm working something out that is actually going to bring salvation to one or more people. So that keeps God in the driver's seat for sure. We all know the verse, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So, trusting. I'm convinced that we don't like the discomfort of being in that place. You know, we want things to be easy so that we can coast. And God just doesn't allow us to go there. I've also found that when we do come into that place of trust and peace, and, you know, we're just one with the Spirit of God, that place of joy and faith and peace is a real threat to the enemy. And so in that place, we have to guard against the distractions and how the enemy would want to pull us back into, you know, the anxious part of it. No, we stay in that place and we silence those distractions. Let's see what else. I asked the Lord while I was doing the radio, okay, where is an example of someone who had to walk it out in trust? And I thought of Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I love this story about Hannah. See, there was a man named Elkanah, and he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And those women got along just wonderfully. No, they didn't. They were rivals. It says that Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And every year he would go up to worship and he would take his wives with him. And whenever the time came for them to feast, he would give a double portion to Hannah. And Peninnah, her rival, would provoke her severely. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like setting aside time to go and worship God. It's supposed to be a time of joy and celebration and encountering God. And then you've got a rival that uses that time to provoke you and make you miserable. And this is exactly what was happening to Hannah. And all she wanted was a son. But it says in verse 5, the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6, her rival, which would be Peninnah, provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that Peninnah provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. So a time that was supposed to be a celebration and joy, Hannah was miserable. And her husband, he didn't get her at all. He says to her in verse 8, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? And then this question right here. Oh my goodness, if this wouldn't push someone over the edge. He said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Oh, okay. He didn't get her. And you know, the desire that she had in her heart for a child, she knew she was supposed to give birth to something. You know, oftentimes we have something on the inside of us that has been placed there by the Holy Spirit. And part of our walk of faith is to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us and to contend for that and to walk it out in the Spirit and to pay the price to bring forth spiritually, to give birth to the thing that God wants us to give birth to. And this is the conflict that Hannah was in. And, you know, in him asking her that question, am I not better to you than 10 sons? At the moment, that was not funny to Hannah, okay? Looking back on this story, I find a lot of humor in it, you know, looking at it from the outside. But in the middle of it, she was exasperated. It says in verse 9, that she arose. I can just see her as like, after that question that he asked her, just raising her hands like, okay, I've had enough. I am getting up from here and I am going to the temple to pray. And it says that she was in bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made this vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed look upon my affliction and remember me and not forget me. And if you will give me a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Bingo. She finally laid hold of that for which God had laid hold of her. She was meant to bring forth a son, but it was to be given over to the Lord. Okay? Because God wanted a prophet in Israel, and he needed someone who was willing to walk it out and pay the price, because fire falls on the sacrifice, and she had paid the price. And so as she's standing there praying, talking about people not getting her, the priest is watching her. It says she spoke in her heart, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, or her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And I mean, it's like, you talk about being exasperated with people. Her husband didn't get her. The priest, the man of God, didn't get her. But here's the good news. God gets you. God understands. God knows what you're going through, because he's the one that has placed it in you to bring forth the thing that he wants you to bring forth. And in her case, it was to give this child to the Lord, because God wanted a prophet in Israel. You know why it was so important? Because God knew he was going to bring forth a David, and David would need a Samuel. Okay, David would need that prophet. So it's just amazing the way that God works in the details of our lives, and he's accomplishing something so much greater than, you know, what we in our limited understanding are asking for. God is doing something so much greater that is going to result in the salvation and in the spiritual lives of so many people. Saul, he was the first king, but, you know, God was going to raise up a David. And then through the lineage of David, he was going to bring forth Messiah. Jesus is called the Son of David. So, it just gets me excited. It just gets me so excited that we can trust God. He is so trustworthy with our lives and what he is bringing forth, and he's going to accomplish it. And so I want to encourage you today to trust him and to gain encouragement from the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. Isn't he good? You know, he brings us into that place of joy. He brings us into that place of freedom, and we're meant to abide there. That's my phone. There we go. Sorry about that. I keep getting all these noises, technology. But anyway, we are supposed to abide in that place of joy. So, Heavenly Father, we adore you, God. We just love you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the truth of your word, God. And we thank you for the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God, that you elevate us, God. You set us high upon a rock so that our head is lifted up above our enemies all around us. And Father, you'll even do for us like you did for Hannah. You will bring forth that thing that we are meant to give birth to so that many, Lord God, can receive of your Spirit. So God, we just rejoice in you. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. And would you just hold us in that place of victory? Hold us in that place of joy, Lord God. We thank you for the final victory when we reach heaven, God, when our faith will be made sight, and all that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you today. Until next time.